Good to see you, and I'm glad to be here today. This is my new church. And I love to talk about it. I love to tell people about this church. It's amazing, the music here. I just love it. And that Allison, man, can she sing? And the whole big Christmas choir, did you all hear them? I loved it. I just loved it. I was thrilled to tears at the ministry that this church has in my own life. And I'm very, very grateful. And I'm glad you had a great ministry for me in providing me my new wife. That really counts. And so I'm so glad for Kathy and for how she has brought me here to fellowship and learn and grow here. I'm growing. I am learning at my age. And God has blessed me with this church. I'm so thankful for it. I am Dwayne King, the director and founder of Kingdom Air Corps. I'm going to show you a video here in a little bit. And I want to just tell you a little bit about what we do. And that is, after 30 years of flying as a church planter and evangelist in Alaska, the Lord moved us from Alaska to Siberia, to the Far East. And there we lived for 7 years and learned the language, and we had an opportunity to share the gospel in many outlying places of Russia. It's very much like Alaska. So what you see in Alaska, what you'll see here this morning in the video, it's much like that in Russia, the Far East. And we have an active ministry going on over there with two full-time pilot mechanics and others that we have trained, 10 Russian pilots in Alaska. When they come to Alaska, sometimes they can't speak English, so I teach them in Russian. Anybody here speak Russian? About that. Хорошо. Хорошо. Очень приятно. Далеко там. Дальний Восток. And I'm glad to see you. And so I love Russian people. I love all people. But I really got to love Russian people. And I continue to minister in Russian churches and make trips over there regularly. And so it's a great blessing to work with Russian people. They are really sweet. They are really neat to work with. I was scared to death when I first started going across the Bering Sea. I'm going to tell that story in a little bit. But I was scared to death of them. I freaked out. I didn't know the language. I didn't know the culture of the people. And yet they accepted me and welcomed me in. I'll forever be grateful. And so this began the idea, the vision to start Kingdom Air Corps. So after we lived in Russia, we came back to Alaska in 1999, and there we started this Kingdom Air Corps. God provided 320 acres to build on, and volunteers started to come. Volunteers just like this church. How many have ever been on a short-term mission trip? Wow, look at that. Fantastic. And I'm inviting you to come to Alaska. Help us. Help us build. Help us teach pilots. Help us work on airplanes. Help us do all kinds of things. And so what I do when I'm not here on Sunday morning, I'm recruiting missionary, short-term missionaries, and lifelong missionaries across the United States. So when you see the video, think about it, about what you might be able to do to help us build. And we have about 70 people that come every summer, and we feed them, and we need cooks. We need butchers to take care of all of our roadkill. So if you've butchered a moose before, we need you. And so there's a lot of work that can be done at Kingdom Air Corps. So be thinking about it, that God might give you a little bit of a vision on what to do. If you speak Russian, there's opportunity to be translators and encouragers of our Russian students. And if you speak Thai, you can come and be an encouragement of our Thai students. And this summer, we have two students coming from India. Our goal at Kingdom Air Corps is to raise up nationals and train them how to reach their own country, how to learn how to fly and get back into the wilds of whatever country that they're from. And so there's a lot of work that can be done in training these missionary pilots and taking care of feeding them. We have 15,000 meals a summer. 15,000. We fly about 1,500 hours and give out about 15 ratings. Now, I don't know anything about those figures, but I could remember 15, 15, 15. No, really, that's about what it is. So let's show the video, and then I have some things to share with you. This is our front yard. We fly here every day. This is the far Arctic, way above the Arctic Circle. Kingdom Air Corps started with a desire to train and prepare missionary pilots for work in the bush of Alaska and in more remote places around the world. The people that we have coming to Kingdom Air Corps are people usually with flight training from one of the universities or colleges that are training missionary pilots. So they come often with a commercial instrument, multi-engine, some of them even with a flight instructor rating.
Hi, we're Mike and Anna Palmeter.
We're from Michigan.
We're preparing to serve with AIM Air, part of Africa Inland Mission.
We came to Kingdom Air Corps because we thought it'd really benefit us as a couple to see kind of what missionary aviation is really like.
And as a pilot and mechanic, I've been able to get a lot of experience flying and working in the shop doing maintenance projects.
I'm Bud Austin, President Emeritus of Laterna University. Served in that role for 21 years and retired in the summer of 2007. I've been coming to this site for Kingdom Air Corps since the summer of 1998, when this was mostly just a dream. One of the things that I'm excited about is the way that Kingdom Air Corps recruits young people, students from Laterna University, but from other campuses and other locations around the country, to come here to learn about being not only a pilot, but a missionary pilot, people who want to give their heart and their life to serving the Lord on the mission field, primarily using aircraft as their means of transportation and outreach.
Daniel Grolman. I'm at Kingdom Air Corps as a flight instructor and airplane mechanic. I've learned a lot about operating the airplanes off of gravel runways, grass runways, short runways, confined spaces, flying in the mountains. A lot of airplane maintenance. Learned a lot about maintaining airplanes out in the bush where maybe parts are unavailable.
They gain experience with missionary type aircraft, Cessna 206s, Cessna 182s, and they gain that experience in the mountains, long distance flying up to the Arctic, many other places that we go in Alaska to train them in types of flying that they will do perhaps on some mission field somewhere.
We need to start the summer off with a focus on our Bible camp, which is held up in northern Alaska. I was on the more on the end of teaching, and that's my background, and I helped organize the events, the just kind of every little detail going into the planning of camp, while Mike was able to focus more on the technical side.
And so everybody else that's there, the pilot and mechanics, we're busy getting ready all of the aircraft that we're going to fly up to camp. We do all the flight planning, all of the maintenance, all of the things that are necessary to take a long trip up into northern Alaska.
Not only do they get the experience of flying and being PIC up to the Arctic, but they also get the experience of a pioneer missionary Bible camp, bush camp, training or evangelizing many different young people from those Arctic villages.
The sharing and the fellowshipping together, the challenging each other to grow in their faith and to make life commitments is truly one of the most exciting things that I see here.
Get into the Word. We talk about personal spiritual needs of being in missions. And so that's a real important part of our time. There's a lot of coaching, encouraging, and discipling of those that come.
I think one of the best things about Kingdom Air Corps is just how exciting it is to be there, to be in that part of the country, way north and in the midst of the mountains and glaciers, and being there with just such a great group of people.
One of the things that is noted around here is that we help people find the will of God for their life. So we have this expression, God loves you, and Dwayne has a wonderful plan for your life. And that plan is to serve the Lord with your whole heart, mind, body, soul, wings, hands, and all of your airplane ratings.
Such a deal you get when you come to Kingdom Air Corps. Not only a wonderful plan for your life, but a plane for your wife. And these young people that come, you'd be amazed at the number of them that have gotten married. And we, every year we have a wedding or two up there on the airstrip or in our dining hall or even in a hangar. And and they fly off into the wild blue yonder for their honeymoon. So this is just one of the favorite things that the kids love to do. It really works too. So how did I get into this? Well, as a young person, I read a book called Jungle Pilot, the story of five missionaries that died on the Curie River in Ecuador. These missionaries had this goal of finding the people in remote parts of Ecuador and other countries. They went in and spotted them. They found beaches to land on or fields, and they developed different ways to communicate with the native people. And so they would bring the gospel. Many would be saved, born again, and then a church would be established. Well, in that case, those five missionaries died as a result of being speared and arrowed by the Wanabe people, who didn't really understand. They thought they were some sort of spirits that came, and they died. A book was written, Jungle Pilot. I picked up that book, and it was the first book I'd ever read at 16 years old. And I was not a good student. I was a motorhead, you know? Hot rods, engines, tractors, all of that kind of stuff. Look, you're looking at your husband, and he thinks the same thing. Right. And those things I loved, and I still do. And they bring me into relationship with guys like you and me. I love it. And so this was the way it worked. And so when we were in the villages of Alaska, I was working on teaching guys to fly and working on their airplanes, and people that made the church up were all new believers. They came to Christ under the cowling of an airplane. They came to Christ while I was teaching them to fly. I'd wait till I got to a real good altitude, and I knew I had a captive audience. He wasn't going anywhere. And so sharing Christ by being a flight instructor, a mechanic, and that began to raise up churches. And I was in these small villages. In 1974, and you'd be surprised who came riding into town. In 1974, Kathy came riding into town, hitchhiked up from California as a hippie. In those days, hippies, they just caught rides wherever they could. And she made it all the way to Alaska. In fact, the village that I was in was called Tok, right on the Alaska Highway. And she got there and she got broke in Tok and got stuck there, and she was there for the winter, and she began to really search for truth. She wanted truth. One of her gang died as a result of an accident, and she wondered if she'd be next. And then what? One of the things that often brings people to the Lord is fear. I have been all over Siberia and a lot of these countries, and one of the things I find in common, people really fear the end. I remember one time I was in a long trip up onto the tundra in the mountains of Siberia. I found, as we went into 15 different villages, no roads. We just drove on rivers, on the ice, up over the tundra, and we had to make our roads at times. One of those places I was in, we just left it, and I was going down the trail alongside of the river, and I saw a man out in the river. He was drowning. It was 30 below. He couldn't stand to be in the water for much longer. I yelled to our Ukrainian driver, and I said, "Stop, stop, Tom Chulivik, there's a man. I jumped out of the car, ran down onto the river, and I crawled out to the on the very thin ice, reached out and grabbed his jacket and pulled him to safety. My Ukrainian brothers grabbed my legs and pulled on my legs, and I pulled the man out of the water. It was one of these typical Reader's Digest saves. It never got written up. And so we got to talking to the guy, and I said to him, Vivirushi, are you a believer? Нет, нет, no, no. I said, do you believe in God? Vivere Богу? Нет, нет, не Бог. There is no God. I said, была боюсь? Were you afraid? Ну да. Почему смерть? I see death. And so I said, well, then you were afraid. Why were you afraid? You don't believe in God, but you were afraid. He said, in the end is the God. До конец это Богу. This is the way many people live. But they wonder, they think about the end. And so I often begin with people and ask them the question, where will you go when you come to the end? Most people who argue and talk about, they don't argue anymore. Most people, when they come to that point, they say, I'm not sure where I'll go. And so this is an opportunity to be able to give them the gospel. Whether they believe or not, this gospel is important. Kathy came and she found her way into our little chapel, Faith Chapel. And in the little chapel, she found a book rack. And on the book rack, a Bible and a book called Late Great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey. She took it back to her cabin and read, and she found out the hope that is in knowing Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. She got down on her knees and prayed and repented and turned her life over to the Lord. The next night she went back for another book, left a check right on the pulpit. And I came on Sunday and I found the check from somebody I had never known, Kathleen Gray. And so I went around town. I said, who is this girl? And they said, I think she works up there at the cafe. I went in, showed her the check, and I said, is this you? Yes. I said, what's the story? And then she began to tell me, and it unfolded. I said, this is an amazing story. You've got to tell my family this. She came over to our house, a big log house, and there she told us the story, how she repented. Evangelism is a marvelous thing. It's a thrill. On Saturday, yesterday, I asked God to give me somebody to share the gospel plainly with every day. And the Lord does it without exception. Somebody comes into my life and I can tell them how to find Jesus Christ as their Savior. I learned that back when I was 16 and 17. And after I read that book, I thought, if I'm going to be a missionary, I better learn how to be an evangelist now. I began witnessing to the guys in my shop, Galt Chevrolet in Endicott, New York. I made friends with one guy, and we traded cars. I had a 39 Caddy, and he had a 48 Ford Coupe. And so we traded cars, and we began to do work on these cars together. I started to share with him Christ. He wanted to go into racing, and I would have loved to have done that, building up race car engines, but God was telling me, go into full-time missionary work. I prayed for him. I witnessed to him. This was 60 years ago. He never came to Christ. Yesterday I had breakfast with him. He's in his 80s. And as I shared Christ with him, I began to see the countenance of the Holy Spirit. The tears in his eyes. We prayed together. And I believe he accepted Jesus yesterday. He's A.J. Foyt's chief mechanic. I don't know if you've ever heard of A.J. Foyt, but he won the Indianapolis 500 five times. My buddy, Louis, got five of those great big rings, the size of a Super Bowl ring. And Louis, after 60 years, knows the Lord. What a blessing it is to see people come to know Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 1, he says, Paul, called to be an apostle, a sent one, an evangelist, a church planner, an apostle of Christ, Jesus, of Jesus Christ, by the will of God and our brothers. And then he goes on to say, he will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's when we all stand before the Lord. And he asks us, what have you done with your life? What have you done with my purpose that you would tell the world about Jesus, my son, so that they would find salvation? Here we are. In this church, terrific church, fabulous music, marvelous teaching of the Word of God. All of us have been impacted by this church. Think about the villages and the cities of Siberia and Burma and India. I see these places and I wonder, who will tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ? It motivates me. It spurs me on to the end. And so it is. I want you to understand and see a little bit today of how God can work in your life. In 1991, as the communist wall, the Iron Curtain, was falling, I was in sight of Russia as a missionary pilot working in the villages all along the western coast of Alaska. It's a rugged place. It's really tough. It's cold. But you know, it doesn't matter. Look at me. Fingers, toes, nothing ever froze. I've still got them. You just dress for it. And get in your little airplane and fly. And when you fly, you will see all of these places that need to hear the gospel. Then when the wall came down, I thought, why don't we go to Russia? Oh, you can't go to Russia. You don't know the language. I said, well, God will go before us. He will give us a chance to speak to somebody. Maybe they know a little bit of English, and we will begin to develop a whole ministry in Russia. We loaded the airplane full of these Bibles, hundreds of them, in a Piper Navajo. And I got three other missionaries with me, and we headed out of Nome for Providenia, the first city in tomorrow, across the international date line, the first city right there that you would come to when flying into Russia, way up in that corner. No, I guess it's way up in this corner for you. Way up there where Alaska and Russia come to within 3 miles of each other. And so I was, I had a flight plan to climb to 3,000 meters, 9,000 feet. I had to convert all of the figures into kilometers per hour to metric system, and I was ready. But when I got to the border over the Bering Sea and I picked up the microphone, I called, and I didn't know if anybody would answer. Providinia Control, this is Navajo 6 Charlie Charlie. We waited. Finally, scratchy radio, staticky voice. Navajo 6 Charlie Charlie, doing the best he can to speak English. Come to Russia. Man, the chills went up my back. My hair stood on end, and I said, here we go. I'm waiting for Sukhois or MiGs right out there at any time. Then I realized that our wives had made us lunches. We didn't know if there was going to be food. There was not much food in Russia, in these far, far out villages, very little food. And so I handed the bag back to the missionaries, and I said, you eat everything, bananas, grapes, eat everything. Get rid of this stuff because they're not allowed in Russia. So they handed me back the peels, banana peels, oranges, apple cores. I said, you guys are good missionaries. Eat the whole thing. Nobody would do it. So I had a little side window, and I threw everything out the window down into the Bering Sea. I was cleared to land right after that, lined up on this Russian runway, the first time that I was ever there, and it was during the first days of the first aircraft that would ever go into Russia on the east side. I'm all set to land. I'm checking everything out. And I looked back on the tail, and the banana peels had gone out and stuck on the tail. What is this going to be? Coming into Russia, the first missionaries, and they got bananas on their tail? And so we got in there. The banana fell off somewhere on the runway. Taxied up to the tower, and 14 guards came out of a bunker with rifles and circled the airplane. I couldn't believe it. My mother always said, if you don't behave, I'm sending you to Siberia. Back in those old days, that's the first thoughts that came to my mind. The guard came and he says, you, pilot, about this far away, come, me, stern. I grabbed a satchel filled with Bibles, and I followed him in. When I got into customs, there was about a 25-year-old girl, customs agent. And I went in with my satchel, and she says, "Что это?" I don't know what this means. And I said, "I'm sorry, I can't speak Russian." And then she says, "Вот здесь." She learned English from a German teacher, I think. And so she says, "What this?" And I said, "Well, it's presents and my clothes." So she says, "I see this." So I took out about 100 of these Bibles. And she says, "Biblia нельзя контрабанд." Contraband. You cannot bring these into the country. And so I said, I'm praying, oh Lord, how am I going to do this? We were praying that we'd be able to give these Bibles out. And she says, and now I'm afraid that I won't get out. And so she says, you give me one, I give you two. And I gave her two Bibles. She said, go. I went out. And the wonderful Russian people opened up their arms and they greeted me. Prijayati, prijayati. Welcome, welcome. And I began to meet several Russians. The air traffic controller came out of the tower. He saluted me. Hi, my name Nikolai. I talk you radio. You teach me, stay in my house, how talk airplane. And so we went, and he's asking all about America. He's asking all about our people, Alaska. They love Alaska. They used to own it. We bought it really cheap. And so then he says all night long, he's saying to me, why you come, Russia? Why come? And so I had a hard time talking to him in English, of course. And then I thought, I've got a translation, Russian, English. And so I turned to Matthew 28, and he reads it. And he says, and of course in English it says, Jesus came up and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples. He read that. Итак, идите, нашите. And he read it and he says, okay, I got the answer. I know now. Oh man, I thought I have a translator in my pocket. And so we started talking more. I turned to another verse of scripture. He understood it. And then he says, what is this word salvation? Oh, Acts 16, verse 30. And I turned there, and he read it. Что я должен делать, чтобы иметь спасение? What must I do to be saved? I said, read the next verse, read the next verse. Вери Иисуса Христа, и будет иметь спасение, и ваша дома. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved in your house. How I do this? How I want this? And I took him to the last page, a prayer of repentance. And he read that prayer of repentance, and I said, Nikolai, you believe? I know believe, I want to believe. And he stood up and took that prayer of repentance. And he cried out, Прости меня, Бог. God forgive me. And that night, Nikolai gave his heart to the Lord Jesus. He was saved in his home. And I began to make many more trips. It's a long way. And a lot of gas, but I started making many trips. We started a little church in their house, in their big cement building in the city of Providencia, and it's going today. On takeoff that week, he came on the radio, and he says, Six, Charlie, Charlie, God bless you. This was on a Russian air traffic control system. God bless you. And please come back. That was God's call for me to go back and live in Far East Russia. God will bless your hearts. And you will follow God's purpose in your life when you surrender to serve Him to the end. May God bless this church. We are planning to be together on the last Sunday nights, the last three Sunday nights of March at 6:30. I believe, and And so we will be teaching evangelism. How not to freak out when you stand in front of people and you love them, you care about them, and how to reach out without any great wise words. Just the love of the Lord Jesus spread out from your life to those people, and God will make a way for you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you for the opportunity to talk about your son Jesus. We thank you for the opportunity to give the message of the gospel for people who have never heard. We thank you and praise you, Lord, for some people that have never heard and rejected it for 60 years, but now have come to know Jesus. I pray, Father, for your blessing upon Lou Parks, even today. I pray your blessing upon our church, that you will speak to our hearts here, that some of us will say, "Here I am, Lord. Send me, use me, just as I am." Thank you, Father, for that. In Jesus' name, amen.